Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
After the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Glad you could be here with us. If we're talking about bringing back Top Text Tuesday, I'm not sure. Go vote. Follow me on Twitter at Whole Show. Maybe that's for next week. We might do it. Maybe. I don't know yet. But half the hooligans don't know if it's Tuesday or Thursday or Wednesday today, so that's why that scares me. Joining me now, Zach Stevens. He's our Broncos insider from DNVR Broncos. Zach, my man, always good to catch up with you. How you been, my friend?
Oh, Brady, I'm doing great. We're finally seeing real football in the Broncos with Russell Wilson. Now we've seen two practices which have been open to the media. And we're really cranking up to the end of this now that it's June.
Yeah, it's right. It goes by pretty fast. I mean, here we can, in another month and a half or so, we're going to be really diving into a training camp officially. So we're getting there. We're moving along. What are you seeing so far that sticks out to you? And I want to talk about Jerry Jeudy. I want to talk about some key positions on my mind, too. But again, kind of what's popping in your brain the most with these last couple of sessions that you've been allowed to see?
Well, it's kind of two different things each day. The first day last week, man, did we see the offense come alive. In the very first practice where the offense was going against the defense, the offense kept getting touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. And it was like, it was shocking to see just because we aren't used to that here in Denver. But you know what? Teams in around the NFL are used to that. But the Broncos just have not had the quarterback to do that. And man, in the red zone, Russell Wilson was making it happen, which is just exactly what you wanted to see. And that first practice was a red zone practice. And one of the things that Russ was doing, he was so elusive. If he had to stand in the pocket, he would. But if he had to break out, he was breaking out, scrambling, making things happen with his feet. And then that just buys time for his receivers to get open. So that's what really happened in the first practice we saw last week. And then yesterday, it was kind of the opposite. The defense said, enough of these touchdowns. We're going to put the clamps on. And boy, did they. Russell Wilson threw his first interception of OTAs yesterday on the very first play when Patrick Surtain made a great play on the ball. And then he took off for six the other way. So we're really seeing Pat Surtain just continue to develop into the type of guy that we believe he can be.
Well, and that's Pat Surtain. I mean, you talk about a guy that we all thought was going to be good, I think was better than most of us thought, which was such a huge thing last year. He's going to step in pretty quickly to more of a leadership role, don't you think, Zach?
100%. And now it's going to be a leadership role, and we're going to continue to hear this comparison as Pat Surtain continues to improve. Kind of a leadership role of Champ Bailey. Mm. Look, Champ Bailey wasn't a guy that from the corner position was going out there in a Brian Dawkins way of firing people up. No, Champ Bailey was a guy that took care of his business, and you just didn't have to worry about his side of the field. And that's what we're going to see with Pat Surtain. Pat Surtain is about the calmest dude out there, meaning he's not going to be super fiery, but also meaning he is not going to get rattled at all. And that's kind of what you want from that cornerback position, where the highs aren't that high, and certainly the lows aren't that low.
Oh, so we're obvious. It's obvious there that your top corner, Pat Surtain, is going to do big things. I'm excited to see what he can do. I really think he's going to be a guy you build around on the defensive side, Zach. But talk to us about the depth at corner. I think that's, strangely, that's kind of been an issue for a while now. I mean, you think back not too long ago, you're talking about the no-fly zone and how deep this group was. What are your thoughts there as far as the depth chart at corner at this point?
Yeah, I mean, Michael Ojemudia is the guy to look out for, and that'll probably be the answer on if the Broncos have depth at cornerback or not. If he continues to emerge, which I've seen some good things over these past couple weeks, if he continues to emerge, it can be that third-round corner the Broncos hoped he would be, then the Broncos are going to be fine at depth. They have a rookie this year who will be behind him. They'll be fine. because you feel good with Ronald Darby on the outside opposite Pat Surtain, and I really like Kaywan Williams and what he brings to this team in the slot. And if Michael Ojemudia is that good depth, because you're going to need depth. Look, Ronald Darby has played a full season once in his NFL career. You're silly to count on him to play an entire season. So if Michael Ojemudia can be just a good, solid replacement player, then you're fine there. But if he's not, then, man, quarterbacks, especially good ones, are just going to pick on that side over and over and over again because they're not going to want to look Pat Surtain's way.
Michael Ojemudia is interesting, Zach, because he was kind of, I mean, we had some fairly, I don't know if they were high hopes, but you were thinking when he was a rookie, okay, this guy is going to have a nice career in front of him. And then obviously last year, you know, I think with Pat Surtain, some of that thunder goes out and we're not seeing him as much. Injuries and all that played a big part as well. But at this stage, I mean, you're right. He has a chance to really solidify that cornerback unit.
Yeah, he really does. And then not only that for this year, solidify the unit, but he has a chance in his limited opportunities he'll get this year and in training camp, he has a chance to show the Broncos, look, I can be your number two starting cornerback on the outside after Ronald Darby's done. Ronald Darby has a 3-year contract, but only the first 2 years are guaranteed. So if the Broncos want to save about $10 million after this year, they could move on from Ronald Darby and then promote Michael Ojemudia. Now, they'll probably, again, need another depth guy in the draft next year and just keep building that way. But we're going to be talking about later this year and next year about how the Broncos need some cash to open up. And Ronald Darby is going to be a guy who we're going to be pointing at saying, man, is he worth $10 million? Now, when he plays and he plays well, he certainly is worth $10 million, but it's going to be that point where the Broncos are going to have to pick and choose in a positive situation. They're going to have to pick and choose who they want on this team instead of just, you know, dishing cash out to get guys here.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. Great point, too. I'll be curious to see. I think it'll be a fun season to see what he does with this potential opportunity. When you look at the defensive side of the ball, Zach, and assuming everybody's healthy going forward, what do you see? Okay, what do you see as the strength and what do you see as the weakness right now?
Well, I certainly think the secondary is the strength of this defense right now because of Pat Surtain leading the way. And then, of course, you can't forget about Justin Simmons, an all-pro guy who you can count on every single game, every single play, to just not make mistakes. And then I still like what Kareem Jackson brings to the table of being a hard hitter punisher. And then I also do like I said, the other two starting cornerbacks in Kaywan Williams and Ronald Darby. That group has a chance to be top 10 in the NFL, maybe even a top 5 secondary in the NFL. And then when we look around, I like the depth the Broncos have at outside linebacker, but Brady, something I don't like is how quickly that depth is being tested already. When you look at that group, they're 6 deep with so many guys that are talented. But then you look, okay, Randy Gregory's out for this offseason program. You have Jonathan Cooper, who's now out for the offseason program. Both of those guys expected to be back from training camp. But Brady, time and time again, we hear guys get injured in the offseason, and they're always expected back by training camp. And about half the time, they're not. So I am not counting on those guys right now. And boom, your depth's almost cut in half right there. And by the way, the guy that you're counting on, Bradley Chubb, he has a big-time injury history too. So that's one position that, I mean, you could be getting a gold mine with that, or you could be left empty-handed.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's really interesting, Zach. Don't you just get this sense, and you would know this more than me, that you look at this defense and you go, okay, if everything goes perfectly, they have potential to be a really good defense. But if one or two pieces doesn't live up to the potential, the hype, or there's an injury or whatever, then they could be borderline, you know, average to below average.
100%, Brady. You're spot on with that. And that's why it's okay to lower expectations for this defense. It's okay to not expect the defense to be the ones to carry the Broncos, because you know what? In the past, that's what we've been relying on, and then Von Miller's got hurt, and then Bradley Chubb's got hurt, and then there's been injuries at linebacker, and then the plan, the masterful plan to win with defense falls apart, and that happens year in and year out. Now what the defense needs, Brady, they need to be just above average. If they're just even slightly above average, that may be disappointing to some, but if the offense is top 10, That's a playoff team right there, and that's the modern-day NFL. That's how you win these days, is with a good offense, really good offense, and then a defense that is just fine. And so if that's why it's okay if the Broncos are just fine. The Broncos can afford, and I hope this doesn't happen, but the Broncos can afford an injury to outside linebacker, to the defensive line, to inside linebacker, because I still believe they can be an average, slightly above-average defense with that. But you're right. If everything does stay good, Brady, then they could absolutely be a top 10 defense, top 5 defense too, especially if this offense is forcing opposing teams to pass late in the game. Randy Gregory and Bradley Chubb, they can pin their ears back and really rack up stats and really become close to an elite defense.
Talking to Zach Stevens from DNVR Broncos, let's switch over to the offensive side of the ball, Zach. Jerry Jeudy, that's the big name that keeps coming up. We hear that the Chargers were dropped and everything, which is great news for everyone involved, I think, right? But I still, there is still this thing in the back of my head that goes, I know Jerry hasn't had a lot of run-ins like that, and in fact, that's the only one that I know of, but there's still something about seeing him on Twitter and some of his responses and such that just make you kind of wonder, okay, is Jerry Jeudy, is he going to take hold in this league? Is he dramatic? What is it? What are your thoughts on Jeudy at this point, man?
Well, and Brady, I think it's very fair to still have questions. Just because charges are dropped doesn't mean that any character questions or the Twitter stuff or just the way he approaches the game has changed at all and should be gone. And this is Jerry Jeudy's year. It's honestly a make it or break it year for him. Look, I think he'll still be on the Broncos next year because he'll be a cost-controlled player next year, and the talent is there. And if he comes out and has another disappointing year, well, now there's no excuses. He has a new coaching staff. He has an offensive system that should be much better for him and the passing game, and he finally has a quarterback. So if there are still issues, okay, it's time to not point the finger at so many other things. It's probably time to point the finger at the former first-round pick, but he could also come out and he could have easily over 1,000 yards. Brady, it's not crazy to think that he could have a 1,500-yard season this year, and then you're talking about how he's a $20 million wide receiver just right after this season. So this year is a massive make-or-break year for Jerry Jeudy, just like it is for Bradley Chubb.
Yeah, and that's the thing I think that's frustrating with Jeudy is the ability's there. You know, you look at the ability and think, man, that's a guy that could be outstanding in this league, could be a game changer, but maybe there's big things to him, but little things to us on the outside. We look at it and say, if you could just correct a few things here and there, you might be able to live up to all that potential.
Yeah, exactly, and it is frustrating for fans to see Jerry Jeudy not necessarily live up to his potential in the first 2 years, yet he's complaining about things on Twitter, and I completely understand how that rubs people the wrong way, but he has the talent to still live up to that first-round potential. And remember the way that he was talked about, not just in Denver, but in the country, in one of the best wide receiving drafts in NFL history just 2 years ago. He was viewed by many as the best, and we've seen some great ones come out of that class. Of course, CeeDee Lamb looks really good. Justin Jefferson might be the best receiver in the NFL right now, and Jerry Jeudy as a talent was viewed more talented than those guys. But again, the excuses are over. Your quarterback is not Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock. Your quarterback is now Russell Wilson, and now you on the field have to do things the right way, but also off the field in order to earn that quarterback and the new head coach and the new coaching staff's respect.
Zach, last one for you, man. Okay, we know the right side of the offensive line. That's where the question marks are. What have you seen as far as the progression there with guys like Quinn Meinerz, maybe fighting for that right guard spot?
Yeah, and that's what I'm seeing. Quinn Meinerz is going to be a starter on this offensive line, Brady. It's just a matter of where they want him, where they need him the most. And right now, he does have the edge at right guard. That's where I expect him to land. And then you'll have kind of a battle at left guard between Dalton Reisner and Graham Glasgow. It does seem like Lloyd Cushenberry's really holding down the center position, which is really impressive for him because that was a wide-open one as well. But at right tackle, Brady, that's the one that is just rotating, and there is really no idea what's going on right now. Billy Turner has been out all offseason with what appears to be a lower leg injury. So you haven't been able to see him. Going into the offseason program, Brady, I would have said that Billy Turner does have the upper hand to be the right tackle. If he keeps missing time, that slips away slowly, but it keeps slipping away from him. Calvin Anderson was back on the practice field yesterday after breaking his nose and missing last week. He seems to kind of have the upper hand right now, but then you're talking about Ben Braden, who's getting some reps at right tackle. Probably a lot of people, a lot of Broncos fans that have never heard his name before. He's a backup from Green Bay who came over here with Nathaniel Hackett. And so just a lot of movement still on the offensive line, specifically at that right tackle spot. And I don't expect that movement to stop until deep into training camp, if not even the end of preseason.
Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos, man, appreciate you. What do you got cooking for us that we can check out at DNVR Broncos or via Twitter?
Well, Brady, about to talk to some players actually in the next 40 minutes, so stay tuned for that over at Twitter. And then also, I mean, just breaking down every OTA that I can be at, that the Broncos allow me to be at, I will be there. And we're ramping up toward mandatory minicamp, just 2 weeks away, which means we get to watch a whole week of football.
I love it, man. We'll be looking out for it. You're doing a fantastic job, as always, and we'll look to catch up with you soon, okay?
Thanks, Brady. I look forward to it.
Thanks, man. Zach Stevens, DNVR Broncos. Shout out to one of our excellent sponsors, and that's Lemons Heating and Cooling. You know, I know it's been a nice and cool with the rain and everything, but the hot days are coming up. Make sure everything's up to speed, the HVAC system and everything. 970-567-0798. That's 970-567-0798. Jerry Lemons, great guy, great staff, wonderful business. I played flag football with Jerry, so I know what kind of guy he is. He's one of those guys you just rely on, you know, when you're playing sports with him or when you're doing business with him. Again, Lemons Heating and Cooling, 970-567-0798, 21 minutes after the hour. The Rockies are underway. Senzatella went back on the mound, looked a little scary for a moment, but he got out of the first inning, so it's good to see him back, getting perhaps shaking some of the rust off. We'll be right back. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy and Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.